This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Monday, October 16th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Last Friday, President Donald Trump struck a blow against the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement in defiance of other world powers, choosing not to certify that Tehran is complying with the deal and warning he might ultimately terminate it, reports Reuters.
As President of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. Today I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions, and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon.
While Trump did not pull the United States out of the agreement, he gave the U.S. Congress 60 days to decide whether to reimpose economic sanctions on Tehran that were lifted under the pact. In a recent interview on the Christian Broadcasting Network, Attorney General Jeff Sessions shared his conviction that Christian bakers have the, quote, fundamental right, unquote, under the law to refuse to bake cakes for homosexual faux weddings, reports the Christian Post.
Too often we have ignored what the Constitution actually says. It says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The cake baker has more than just a personal view here. He has a religious view, and he feels that he is not being able to freely exercise his religion by being required to participate in a ceremony in some fashion that he does not believe in. So we think that right is a fundamental right.
Sessions asserted that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 states that the government should not constrict an individual's religious belief, quote, without a compelling reason to do so. So we think that statute has been ignored too often and not respected sufficiently, unquote. The Trump administration has made a move to officially assert that life begins at conception, reports The Independent. New language was inserted into the Department of Health and Human Services 2018 to 2022 strategic plan, which says that the mission was, quote, serving and protecting Americans at every stage of life, beginning at conception, unquote. Psalm 139:13 declares, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Pro-abortion politicians in California, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Washington are suing President Donald Trump over his decision to provide broad exemptions to religious employers who object to paying for birth control, including forms that may cause abortions, in their employee health plans, reports the Associated Press. A week ago today, Twitter censored Representative Marsha Blackburn's 3-minute campaign video advertisement over her unapologetically pro-life language, reports the Christian Post. Listen to the words that offended the liberal ears over at the Twitter castle.
I'm Marsha Blackburn. I'm a hardcore, card-carrying Tennessee conservative. I'm politically incorrect and proud of it. I'm 100% pro-life. I fought Planned Parenthood, and we stopped the sale of baby body parts. Thank God.
After getting major blowback, Twitter announced last Tuesday that they would allow the Tennessee Republican to condemn Planned Parenthood. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders roasted CNN's Jim Acosta at a recent press briefing.
Sir, why did the president tweet this morning that he'd like to see the Senate Intelligence Committee investigate news outlets and I guess this quest to go after fake news? Does he value the First Amendment as much as he values the Second Amendment?
Absolutely. The president is an incredible advocate of the First Amendment. With those freedoms also come responsibilities, and you have a responsibility responsibility to tell the truth, to be accurate. I think right now when we've seen recent information that says that only 5% of media coverage has been positive about this president and this administration, while at the same time you have the stock market and economic confidence at an all-time high, ISIS is on the run, unemployment's at the lowest it's been in 17 years, we've cut regulations at a historic pace, we're fixing the VA for our vets, you've only found 5% of your time to focus on some of those big issues. And frankly, those are the issues most Americans care about. Not a lot of the things that you cover, not a lot of the petty palace intrigue that you spend your time on. I think that we need to move towards a certainly more fair, more accurate, and frankly, a more responsible news media for the American people.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, Bob Weinstein, who lived in the shadow of his older brother, Harvey Weinstein, called Harvey a depraved man. While he says he knew his brother was unfaithful to his wife, Bob insists he had no idea about, quote, the type of predator that he was, unquote, and is sickened by Harvey's lack of remorse. The words of God from Jeremiah 44:10 are just as applicable to this unrepentant Jewish man named Harvey Weinstein as they were to the Jews of Jeremiah's day. But they have not become contrite even to this day, nor have they feared nor walked in my law or my statutes. President Donald Trump touted his administration's actions to a major gathering of Christian conservatives in Washington, D.C. last Thursday, stating that he's, quote, stopping cold the attacks on Judeo-Christian values, unquote. Listen to some of the key audio clips in my upcoming Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. Where in the world is Jesus Campos, the Mandalay Bay security guard shot by Stephen Paddock in the moments leading up to the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history, was set to break his silence last Thursday night with 5 television interviews, including one with Sean Hannity, reports Fox News. When the cameras were about to roll, Campos reportedly bolted, and as of early Friday morning, it was not immediately clear where he was. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Monday, October 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a World View special report. I'm Adam McManus. President Donald Trump, who became the first sitting president to address the Values Voters Summit, affirmed religious liberty.
We defend our Constitution. We protect religious liberty. We treasure our freedom. We are proud of our history. George Washington said that religion and morality are indispensable to America's happiness, really prosperity, and totally to its success. It is our faith and our values that inspires us to give with charity, to act with courage, and to sacrifice for what we know is right. The American founders invoked our Creator 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. 4 times. How times have changed, but you know what? Now they're changing back again. Just remember that. Benjamin Franklin reminded his colleagues at the Constitutional Convention to begin by bowing their heads in prayer. Religious liberty is enshrined in the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And we all pledge allegiance to very, very beautifully, one nation under God. This is America's heritage, a country that never forgets that we are all, every one of us, made by the same God in heaven.
Trump reminded the Values Voters Summit audience of his nomination of a pro-life Supreme Court justice and his affirmation of the sanctity of unborn human life.
In the last 10 months, we have followed through on one promise after another. I appointed and confirmed a Supreme Court justice in the mold of the late, great Justice Antonin Scalia, the newest member of the Supreme Court, Justice Neil Gorsuch. To protect the unborn, I have reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy.
President Trump was especially eager to prevent the Johnson Amendment from interfering with the First Amendment right of Christians.
To protect religious liberty, including protecting groups like this one, I signed a new executive action in a beautiful ceremony at the White House on our National Day of Prayer. Among many historic steps, the executive order followed through on one of my most important campaign promises to so many of you, to prevent the horrendous Johnson Amendment from interfering with your First Amendment rights. We will not allow government workers to censor sermons or target our pastors, our ministers, our rabbis. These are the people we want to hear from, and they're not going to be silenced any longer. Just last week, based on this executive action, the Department of Justice issued a new guidance to all federal agencies to ensure that no religious group is ever targeted under my administration. Won't happen.
Last Thursday, the president affirmed that the majority of Americans celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas. And he talked about the gift his administration would like to give the American people.
As we approach the end of the year, you know, we're getting near that beautiful Christmas season that people don't talk about anymore. They don't use the word Christmas because it's not politically correct. You go to department stores and they'll say Happy New Year and they'll say other things and it'll be red. They'll have it painted, but they don't say, well, guess what? We're saying Merry Christmas again. And as a Christmas gift to all of our hardworking families, we hope Congress will pass massive tax cuts for the American people. That includes increasing the child tax credit and expanding it to eliminate the marriage penalty. Because we know that the American family is the true bedrock of American life.
President Trump affirmed the important role of parents, who should be the primary authority over children, not bureaucrats.
For too long, politicians have tried to centralize the authority among the hands of a small few in our nation's capital. Bureaucrats think they can run your lives, overrule your values, meddle in your faith, and tell you how to live, what to say, and how to pray. But we know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise their children and create a thriving society.
In one of the best lines of his Values Voters Summit speech, the president unapologetically talked about the central role that God has in our lives as a country.
We know that it's the family and the church, not government officials, that know best how to create strong and loving communities. And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. Inspired by that conviction, we are returning moral clarity to our view of the world and the many grave challenges we face.
Despite his America First doctrine, Trump explained that his administration will not walk on eggshells around terrorists.
In this administration, we will call evil by its name. We stand with our friends and allies. We forge new partnerships in pursuit of peace. And we take decisive action against those who would threaten our people with harm. And we will be decisive, because we know that the first duty of government is to serve its citizens. We are defending our borders, protecting our workers, and enforcing our laws. You see it every single day like you haven't seen it in many, many years, if you've seen it at all. In protecting America's interests abroad, we will always support our cherished friend and partner, the State of Israel. We will confront the dangers that imperil our nation, our allies, and the world, including the threat of radical Islamic terrorism.
And he addressed ISIS by name.
We have made great strides against ISIS. They never got hit like this before, but they've been just ruthless, and they've ruthlessly slaughtered innocent Christians, along with the vicious killing of innocent Muslims and other religious minorities. We've made their lives very, very difficult. We've done more against ISIS in 9 months than the previous administration's done during its whole administration, by far.
In his close, President Trump spoke from his heart.
As long as we have pride in our country, confidence in our future, and faith in our God, then America will prevail. We will defeat every evil, overcome every threat, and meet every single challenge. We will defend our faith and protect our traditions. We will find the best in each other and in ourselves. We will pass on the blessings of liberty and the glories of God to our children. Our values will endure. Our nation will thrive. Our citizens will flourish. And our freedom will triumph.
Family Research Council President Tony Perkins said, quote, since the early days of the campaign, President Trump allied himself with values voters, promising to put an end to the 8 years of relentless assault on the First Amendment, unquote. George Barna has detailed how on November 8, 2016, Christian conservatives altered the course of American history by voting overwhelmingly for and delivering victory to Donald Trump to be the 45th president of the United States, reports the Christian Post. To the chagrin of secular liberals, particularly in the mass media, Barna believes that spiritually active, government-engaged conservatives, sage cons, he calls them, continue to leave an indelible mark on American political life. His latest book, The Day Christians Changed America, How Christian Conservatives Put Trump in the White House and Redirected America's Future, showcases the impact both they and, more broadly, Christians had in the last election. Barna explains that most conservative Christians who pulled the Republican lever in the general election were not voting for Donald Trump so much as they were voting against Hillary Clinton and voting for specific issues like originalist Supreme Court justices, legislation protecting the unborn, and for protection against rising threats to religious freedom. Despite Trump's glaring warts, he has certainly championed many of the issues that animate evangelical voters in the face of a handful of liberal Republicans in the Senate who appear determined to block his conservative agenda. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.